What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Javier. So what I want to do is kind of break down some interesting stuff that's been going on within the Rat Mates organization for some of our ads. And so I'm going, and essentially what I'm going to do is like, well, this has nothing to do with facility management. It does, because this can happen to any organization. This can happen to any company. And I'm going to tell you how we approach this and how you can probably do this whenever you're running any kind of paid ads on social media, on Google search, Bing, whatever.
So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms to market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
Okay, so for the past almost 18 months or so, give or take, we were using a ad agency to run all of our ads. And so essentially they were in charge of running all the ads, making any kind of adjustments, the creative, the ad copy, like just that sort of stuff. And I kind of gave them direction and strategy and what I was looking for, and they would kind of execute upon those things. And then if they had any kind of like, you know, any other thoughts and new things that have come up, then they'll come back and, you know, bring it up to me, that sort of stuff. Well, they're in that 18 months, they had probably about 3, 4, maybe 5 incidences or fiascos that took place that affected us tremendously. I mean, it hurt us big time. Like, it hurt us on lead volume. It hurt us on just, you know, it hurt us in so many different ways. It was just, it was very grueling to deal with. Okay. So, but then on the other front, they helped us get to where we are right now, where we have a better understanding on some of how our ad strategies have been working and what's been successful and what hasn't been successful. And so, you know, not that they did worse than good, they did more good than bad, but some of the bad kind of sticks out. Like, just, it's just, it's no different from like, you go to get a meal at Red Lobster or something like that, and you're upset that the steak is medium well versus medium rare. I don't know why you're getting a steak at Red Lobster, but you get what I'm getting to, okay? And so that makes your entire experience like horrible, and you leave a 1-star review, right? Like, that's, and I would not do that to this agency. I'm not going to use their name. I would use them again, actually, quite frankly, because they did some pretty good stuff. Anyways, we cut ties with them for a couple of reasons. One of them was to save money, but two was mainly because when we acquired this other company, we essentially were able to leverage some of their overlapping employees to help us run ads. And so this employee has been pretty strategic with our approach here. With that, what happened is that back in, let's see, in June, beginning of June, before June, I'd had a meeting with them sometime in May, basically telling them like, hey guys, you guys need to start doing some more test creative, etc. Well, they flip and ran an ad that was the wrong creative to use, and I have no idea why they did this. And so this particular ad that they use was targeting essentially what we call personalization leads. People that just want to personally get their reps. So just, I got to tell this story so you guys understand where this is coming from. This ad, historically over the past 6 to 8 months, had already been generating roughly 65% of our targeted audience and was delivering probably about 60 to 70% of our leads on a monthly basis, maybe even more. It delivered a big chunk of our leads. So if this ad went to shit, then our qualified lead volume would start going down immediately. And so this is where we had to like this particular ad, like, we leaned on it quite a bit. Well, they went in and changed the ad And it started generating the wrong type of leads. And it basically flipped the campaign. So this is what I mean. The campaign was generating roughly 65% of our targeted audience as leads, like what we truly want, right? And it was doing great, and there was no reason to change it. All they needed to do was maybe clone the ad or you know, but the way they did it was dumb. So when they changed the ad creative to this more of a personalization type ad, the actual campaign itself flipped completely to where it was generating 35% of our targeted ad or targeted leads, commercial leads, and 65% of our unwanted type leads. And we couldn't, it took us 6 weeks to try to see if we can flip this thing back over. You know, they tried to fix some stuff, they couldn't get it. And then we brought in Amy, who was part of the other organization, to try to see if she can fix it. And she couldn't fix it. And we tried different, you know, tests and different things. And unfortunately, this ad basically went to shit. Like, straight up went to complete dog shit. Okay? And it hurt us big time. June was one of our toughest months for several reasons. We believe, one, it could have been that we had a price increase and it affected some of the sales reps on just kind of like how they pitch. Number two, we do believe that there was some sort of seasonality to this. And so, you know, the beginning of the summer, that sort of stuff, these, you know, these home service companies are very busy. Three, this ad basically completely flipped and started generating the wrong type of leads that we didn't want. And so a lot of companies, they could have buckled and kind of could have easily been like, crap, there's nothing we can do, and, you know, not try to fix it. And so we did a lot of different things. Like, we tried to change some the actual ad itself within it, the campaign. And there was good approaches, but it wasn't very successful. So let me kind of tell you how we went about basically flipping this and kind of like combating like what this was happening. So like, let me just kind of, you know, preface this is that we generate roughly 20 on good months, 2,500 to 2,700 commercial leads. Okay. These are like what we consider as like solid quality leads that our sales team can work. In June, it was like 1,900 or maybe even 2,000. So essentially a 25% drop. That's detrimental to our team's morale. It hurts in so many different fronts. So the first thing we thought about is like, okay, let's see if we can create a new, what's called an ad set. And so if you're not familiar with running ads on Facebook, your best thing to do is maybe go look at one of my previous podcast episodes. So you can, that talks about like setting up Facebook ads. So you have a better idea of like, oh, okay, I get this, because I'm not going to explain it too much. So whenever you're creating an ad in Facebook, there's three parts to it. There's a campaign, there's an ad set, and then there's the ad. The campaign essentially is kind of like, hey, we want to, you know, run a lead, you know, generation ad or a conversion ad or a, like you kind of like dictate what kind of ad you're looking to run. The ad set's going to be like demographic, interests, you know, locations, like that sort of stuff. And then the ad is going to be the creative and the copy. And so these three pieces, you have to know them relatively well on how to set them up. And so what happened is that this ad got optimized for the wrong type of leads, because it did so well generating these other leads that the campaign basically was like just trained. The algorithms trained it to be like, oh, this is success, is going after these premium leads. Because we have like a landing page that if someone hits that page and they quote unquote check out, become a lead, it considers that a success. So it keeps optimizing that over and over. And then so it starts targeting those people. And that's how this ad was screwed up. And so we couldn't change that. So one of the things we tried to do was maybe change the ad set by changing the, like adding a new ad set. And I forget what exactly we did, but we added another ad set and we had the two ad sets compete against each other. And so those two ad sets were competing and it didn't do anything. It was still delivering garbage leads. You're like, okay, this is not working. So then my next idea was, okay, let's take all of our commercial leads that we've generated in the past 24 plus months and all their email addresses, which was roughly, I want to say like 60 or 70,000 contacts, maybe less. So it took all of their email addresses and then we re-uploaded them into Facebook Ads Manager. Sorry, guys. And so what happened there is that when you upload that list of contacts, that spreadsheet, you can create what's called a lookalike audience. And so a lookalike audience is where Facebook says, oh, you have all these people and they kind of have these certain characteristics. And so we're going to create people that look like this audience that you currently have right now. And so this lookalike audience is basically, you know, Facebook taking its algorithm, recreating, but you can't see these people, but recreating an audience based off of your list. So the larger your list, the better and more accurate it can get in recreating these people. So that was one way of us combating this. Okay. So what happened here is that we created a lookalike audience with a 5% lookalike. So, or I'm sorry, a 5% reach. So it started going like, it would only like, there's like 2%, 5%, and I think like 10% maybe, but it was like a 5% reach. And so essentially what it did is like, let's say that lookalike audience generated, I don't know, let's just say like 50 million people that looked like this list of like 60,000 contacts. Essentially, we're only going to target 5% of that 50 million people. And then we would start marketing to those folks that kind of resemble characteristics. If you hear that, it's thunder outside. It was like thunder and lightning going on. And so that resembled the characteristics of the contacts, the leads that we've generated over the past 24 months from email addresses. And so that lookalike audience then helps you generate new leads. And if they actually become good leads and you can start working them and closing them, then your audience size gets larger and you can use this new list to get more narrowed in and tight and tightened up on generating better quality leads. Okay. And people do this a lot. This is a very common thing to do. Like this is not, you know, nothing revolutionary or like, you know, unethical. Like this has been going on for years with Facebook. This has been one of their tools. This is something a lot of like smart marketing leaders actually use as part of their strategies, creating lookalike audiences. Another thing that you can do with these lookalike audiences is that you can also just, I'm sorry, that with this list is that you can retarget just the list of people so that they continuously get new ads so that maybe they saw one ad, but they didn't convert, but then they see another ad and they might end up converting. So there's different ways on how you can work on that list. With that, when we created these, we created a thing like four ad sets. I don't know exactly how Amy set it up, but we created four ad sets and each one had like two different creatives. One was like a dynamic ad and one was like a static ad. And so we when you're creating new campaigns and it's designed to be what's called conversion ads, where you're trying to get more leads, Facebook essentially puts your ad into a learning phase. And so what you don't ever want to do is you don't want to go in and start messing around with your current ads that are active and doing very well. Excuse me. And screw it up, because then it puts your ad back into learning. And when your ad goes back into learning, you're paying more for these leads. And it's Facebook readjusting its algorithm to kind of figure out what you did. And so you do everything you can to avoid going back to what's called a learning phase. And so this learning phase essentially is like kryptonite. But the way to get out of the learning phase as quickly as possible is by dumping money into the ad as fast as you can and be willing to like, okay, I'm going to bet on this ad to do well. And then we can kind of start ratcheting down the ad spend. So what we did is we started putting like $200 a day for this ad so that it would get out of the learning phase as quickly as possible. And so a couple of our ad sets were able to do that. So that was one of the things that we did. And then it started this entire campaign. We're calling it like Tofu 2.0. It was just kind of like an acronym that we have within the campaign that we called it. Tofu stands for top of funnel. Anyways, it basically got the most of the ad out of a learning phase to where it's optimized. And it's now generating roughly 75% commercial leads. Now we're paying a little bit more for these leads. But as this ad gets more optimized and gets smarter and realize like, hey, this is good, this is success, it's going to start doing well. So where I'm like trying to explain this is that there are times whenever the campaign that you're currently running, whether it's on Facebook, on Google, on LinkedIn, doesn't matter, that campaign can start not doing as well. It can start going down. Like you can't lean on a campaign to be like your end all be all kind of source. And that's kind of what's been going on with us, unfortunately. And we're looking to, you know, get into bigger and larger channels that are different so we can diversify ourselves better. You know, but with that, what's going on with this is that, you know, we were leaning on this. And so we needed to recreate this campaign. So we literally just created a new campaign with a new ad set, with a new strategy, new approach. But we also took elements of the old campaign and we just started running it independently. And this approach helped us to kind of right side the ship on this campaign. So now what we did is we turned off the old campaign and we kept on the new campaign, right? And so there's more budget towards that. And now it's getting out of the learning phase pretty quickly on certain ad sets. And it should be delivering and running on all cylinders probably by the end of this week. So that's one thing that we did to essentially right the ship on a broken ad, essentially, a broken campaign. Another thing that we did to right the ship is we started looking at possibly running ads. Not possibly, we started doing this. We started looking at running ads that are very industry specific. And this is what I mean, is that we ran campaigns for some of our top industries, okay? Like example, like HVAC, okay? And I think it was like 14 or whatever it is. And we ran them for like different parts of all over the country. And so each of these campaigns was separate. It kind of, you know, ran in parallel with some of the other stuff that we were doing. It was separate though. And so these ads, these campaigns had what we'd call four ad sets, like I mentioned earlier, okay? And these four ad sets were broken up into regions of the country, okay? So we broke it up into four regions, and this is a way for us to kind of start seeing like, okay, when we run these type of ads, this is helping us here, or this part of the country is generating more of these leads, or this trade is giving us more leads and converting more customers at this price point. By us segmenting industry and then also segmenting region of the country and then also segmenting two pieces of creative, okay, basically having a van and having a truck, what this did is that it started giving us better insight at the type of leads that we are closing. And this is what's happening here. At times, we were generating leads anywhere from $7, $8, $9 per lead to as much as $10, $12, maybe $15 per lead. So some of these leads were pretty good, some of them a little bit higher than normal. At one point, we were generating, when our ads were all firing and on all cylinders, roughly $300, $350, $400 per customer. Like we basically ran an ad, we acquired the lead, And then we would spend roughly $300-$500, depending on the campaign, the month, that sort of stuff, to generate that person to become a customer. Okay. And that was good. Like, the goal is to get to 250. That's kind of what I've made the standard goal within our company. And the reason I made that goal is because we've gotten there before at different incremental budgets, but not at scale. And so we, you know, have to figure that piece out, because if you can get a customer at 250, that means that your dollars go further. So we kind of nailed down like the cost per lead. We kind of nailed down like our CPMs, our cost per million views, or cost per 1,000 views, sorry. And then we were trying to figure out our cost per acquisition or cost per customer. And so what happened here is that by us segmenting these industries into like 13, 14 industries, and then segmenting each industry into four regions, and each of those regions having two ad creatives, a truck and a van, what this did is that it gave us better insight to understand that, hey, we're generating more leads in this industry, in this region, at this cost, and the cost per acquiring a customer is this. We're now seeing customers coming in at like $115, $115, $150, $200. Like, now there are others that have not produced yet, and we're still trying to figure those out. But what I'm getting to is that, like, this has only been running since July 3rd. So it hasn't been a full month, and we haven't been putting a ton of money into each of these campaigns yet, each of these industry ads. And the reason is because some of these are still learning. So what happened is that we started running the ads, and then we didn't have the right creative yet because our designer was still working on them. So then once the creative was going, we re-put the ads back in, pushed the ad back into a learning phase, which is another 2 or 3 weeks. And this delays the process of kind of seeing the full picture. But we ended up getting some really good successes in different industries throughout the country. And our team is now starting to see momentum. And so we're approaching this a little interestingly now, because now we have people that are seeing an example HVAC ad with an HVAC van that's been wrapped, and the copy is HVAC. They go to our homepage, they convert there. And then what we're going to do next is that we're going to start sending their first email to become an HVAC email saying, hey, Mr. HVAC person, thanks for coming in. Here are some examples of different wraps that you might interest you. Here's a small wrap, medium wrap, large wrap, and full wrap. If you have any questions, schedule a time right here. So now they're putting things together that, like, oh, you know exactly what you're talking about. You do HVAC wraps. You do plumbing wraps. You do electrical wraps. And so the contents, this is like, is targeted to those people that are in that industry, that are in a specific region, that are getting a specific type of email. Like, we're going to start doing that type of targeting. And if we can do that, I really believe that it's going to help us start converting some of these leads, hopefully at a higher rate. And the beauty behind this is that it's getting more granular. Now, there are other campaigns, other industries that aren't as successful. I can't tell you which ones right now off the top of my head, but there's some that have not converted any customers and some that have converted some leads, but we're paying like $90 or $100 for a lead. So we need to rethink those campaigns a little bit and just adjust them. So there's a few things that we can do, and we're thinking about is maybe bucketing some of these industries into one campaign and segmenting everything from there. So that's one approach. And so, you know, the other approach, is just kind of maybe rethinking that maybe the audience is a little too tight. So opening that audience up a little bit more to kind of go further and beyond just like, I think we have is like decision makers. But what's eye opening is that there's certain industries that are just popping off that we're still generating $10 leads, but we're closing these people at $150. And it's only been running for really, truly 3.5 weeks. And for us to get a really good idea, like some of these ads, like we got to run them for about I would say 6 weeks to 8 weeks to the ones that are successful, so we can get a more dialed in number and it gets the ad out of the learning phase. So this is another way on how we combated it, like basically a broken campaign. That was our lion's share. And then now we're like, okay, reapproach this, rethink this. We're already moving in this direction. This is what I want to do. And the reason this is so important is that when you're running ads, it's really important that you get as close as possible to the person that you're targeting as far as like the creative, the copy, the landing page, as far as like as close as possible to the audience. So instead of running a generic ad that's just blanketing the entire country, you should be more specific. Okay, it does lower your audience and it does increase your cost per lead, and it also is going to increase your cost per 1,000 views. However, it might actually decrease your cost per conversion, your cost per acquisition. And the reason it might decrease that is because it's a more highly targeted ad and you're no longer spending money on leads that you don't want, which is really, really important. And so this is kind of what I mean, is that overall, we have a campaign that might generate us, example, 1,000 leads. Okay, let's just use that as a just generic number. And let's just say 650 of those are commercial leads. But let's say 350 of them are premium leads or personalization leads. We don't sell to any of those. We have like automation for them, but they don't convert. If we convert one, it's like one in a few thousand, okay? Or probably one in a few hundred, actually. So we have 650 good quality leads, 350 garbage. And we spend, let's just say, to get those 1,000 leads, let's just make numbers round, $10,000 to get those 1,000 leads. So it's $10 a lead. So you might be saying, oh, $10 a lead, that's really not that bad. Actually, you're spending a lot more. So really, if you had $10,000 and you divided that by 1,000 leads, you think it's $10 leads, but really it's $10,000 divided by 650, which becomes $15 a commercial lead, or $15 a lead for what you're targeting. So you just increased your price per lead by 50%. And that's what's going on, is that our price per commercial lead has risen because we had to get all these premium leads, these personalization leads. However, by us doing industry segmentation, we are now only spending closer to a commercial lead because of our targeting is more precise, okay? And we're getting roughly 95%, 94% as we speak right now, of commercial leads from these campaigns that are industry specific, because the targeting is better, it's tighter, the creative is tighter, okay, the ad copy is tighter, like it's all targeting specific industries and decision makers and all that other stuff, and it's making things a lot better. So now I'm not wasting money on leads that my team's not going to have to work, okay? And so it's really important to understand that, like, you've really got to think about the type of leads that you want and what are important to you. And sometimes you get to dial it up, sometimes you get to dial it down. And then the other part is that sometimes the ads that you run aren't going to be successful, okay? And so you're going to have to do a lot of tests. There are times whenever the ads that you run are successful, but then for some reason, Facebook adjusts its algorithm. And that starts plummeting your ad. And you can't, and so it's an always ongoing ebbs and flows type of approach. And there is a reason why you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket for one type of channel in marketing. In our case, like most of our eggs is in Facebook. If Facebook was to die today, we would struggle. Like we would legitimately struggle on generating leads. And, you know, this is not a knock on our company. Like this is, I mean, I made it very clear in, you know, one of my meetings last week that I'm like, we can't do this. Like we can't live and die by one campaign, you know, by one channel. Like this is this is telling us that we, like, in order for us to lower our cost of acquiring a customer or customer acquisition cost, we need to start diversifying into new channels. And so we need to start looking at new ways and how to, like, lower that CAC and this, that, and the other. So anyways, this has been kind of a good learning lesson these past 4 weeks, 5 weeks within the marketing team to, like, start looking at, okay, we need to rethink about how we're running our ads. We need to rethink about the channels that we're currently acquiring our leads and future customers. We need to rethink about how to start continuously lower our CAC. Like, there's a lot of things to really rethink about. And it's been a good, you know, troubling learning lesson. But more importantly, like, what it also did is that if something's not firing, we need to have a better game plan to combat this as well, too. Like, maybe it's internal promotions. Maybe it's like we send out some promotional emails to our list of saying, hey, we're going to be running a promo for the next 2 weeks. You know, if you want to get this, you know, buy this now, buy that now, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason I'm bringing all these things up is that there will be times whenever things are going great and marketing is the savior. And then there will be times where things are going bad and everyone blames marketing. In these past five plus weeks, everyone's been blaming marketing and a lot of stuff. And rightfully so. It was not, I didn't approve, you know, this agency to change this ad. I'd never approved that. I would have, like, stopped it before it ever happened, but they just ran it. And that was something that I kind of told them, like, you guys can't do that kind of stuff. But it was a learning lesson in different things. So anyways, I hope this was kind of helpful for you guys to kind of see that this shit happens to everybody, like, everyone. Even if you get things dialed in, like, you're going to go through shit and it's going to be tough, but you just got to be creative. You got to be thinking outside the box. You got to just find ways on how to just switch gears immediately. So hope this is helpful, real life experience. Again, like, you're like, well, what does this have to do with facilities? Okay, let me explain something. I just kind of told you a strategy that takes place that can happen in any kind of facility management company. Okay, if you're running ads on Facebook, that's good. And you might be thinking, like, well, my target audience isn't there. I would challenge that, but whatever. If you're running ads on LinkedIn, that's good. You could be going through these things and, like, this could probably open up an opportunity. Same thing with Google, that sort of stuff. So, like, what I'm saying is that, like, I'm sharing stories and experiences that may not be directly in the facility space, but you can take these elements and be like, oh, that makes sense. I can do that. Oh, that makes sense. I should be doing that. There's different ways on how to make this thing work. Okay. So really hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'll talk to everybody later.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys, thanks a lot and have a great one.